What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, guys? Red Nation Hoops Podcast. My name is Solomon Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. You're joined by Forrest Walker at Do Not on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good. Really good, actually.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty good mood. And so is, I imagine, a lot of Rockets fans. The Rockets had a pretty good win, had a pretty big win last night in probably the defining game of the season, but we'll get into that later. Pretty much after we last recorded, like right after, one of the top five craziest moments on NBA Twitter happened. The Rockets tried to storm. I guess. Okay, so we have the facts now, but I think it's best to go in order to how the news is breaking, because that's just how we received the information, and it was just a complete cluster. Like we got all the information bit by bit, watch bomb by watch bomb. Twitter was just trying to put it together, and it was just like kind of one of those crazy moments. Like, this moment is right up there with the DeAndre Jordan kidnapping saga, up there with the emoji gate, whatever you want to put it up against. It's up there among the best NBA Twitter moments of all time, and it was just like beyond entertaining. Like, it happened late at night, like right after Rockets lost to the Clippers. So essentially what happened was, the game got a little chippy, which is, you know, it's not unusual. It happens, right?
It was pretty dang chippy, though. It was was like a forearm shiver to Mike D'Antoni from Blake Griffin and stuff. It got a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, it definitely was a little bit unusual, but I mean, like, relative to what happened afterwards, not that unusual, right? Like, the game was fine. The Rockets lost the Clippers. A good team, which is, you know, to be expected. You lose games like that. It's whatever. It was just a game, right? And when it really started to heat up was, again, as you mentioned, in that incident where Blake Griffin ran into Mike D'Antoni. Were you outraged by that? Like, I feel like a lot of Rockets Twitter was outraged by that. And I was just kind of like, eh, like, it's, you know, it's whatever. You know, it's like, not a big deal. But, like, did you have any strong feelings about Blake Griffin running into DeAndre? Not DeAndre, into Mike D'Antoni.
It's kind of a sorry thing to do, I guess, but I don't know. It's just like old teams that hate each other. I know that Mike D'Antoni seemed to hate it. I kind of like that he was sort of screaming "F you" at Blake Griffin. That was
a
show of passion for sure.
I've never seen that before, ever. I've been watching basketball a long ass time. I've never seen a coach cuss at a player like that. It's just that was just like, what the hell just happened? Those are one of those kind of moments, like where Mike D'Antoni blatantly cusses, the camera catches it, and it was just a big skirmish where Chris Paul tried to back him up. Pretty much the Rockets in general were, you know, caping for D'Antoni and trying to back up. And then in the corner, I think it was like I don't know what the hell. I think Ariza had the ball, and Montrezl Harrell might have shut him down or something. And Austin Rivers was in the corner just talking a whole bunch of trash on that possession. Yeah. The Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah, and including Patrick Beverley, but we're not going to talk about, we're going to pretend like that just didn't happen. We're just going to pretend like Patrick Beverley was not openly rooting against the Rockets.
But it's important, yeah, Austin Rivers was chirping a whole bunch, and he was pissing off a lot of the Rockets while he was at it.
Right.
That's important.
He was wearing his expensive suit out there. He was hurt. He was in a walking boot, and he was just talking all kinds of like, he was just like, and it was just like, it was irritating the hell out of the Rockets players, including one Trevor Ariza, who went up to Austin Rivers, had to be separated. I think Blake Griffin approached him. And it was just like Austin Rivers has a reputation around the league as being a guy that pretty much nobody likes. Like I haven't really heard. I haven't really heard a glowing account of Austin Rivers. Like, oh, he's just a good guy to be around. I love him. Like, whatever. You know, like, I never really heard that from anybody around Austin Rivers' camp. I mean, by all accounts, a lot of people don't like him. Like, I guess he gives a sort of entitlement vibe off. Like, that's, if you read between the tea leaves, that's what you kind of get. Like, people feel like, you know, the dad's the coach. He really shouldn't be getting the minutes that he's being afforded to. And, like, he feels like his place in the NBA is solidified, and other players don't feel that way. Former Clippers don't feel that way. I think Matt Barnes talked about this a couple of days after the incident. Like, players didn't like Austin Rivers. Like, this was a thing. Like, including our own Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul, like, that was a thing. Like, Chris Paul did not like Austin Rivers. They just never clicked. I guess Chris Paul had that same, you know, entitlement kind of vibe off of Austin. It really rubbed him the wrong way. Some people say it was one of the reasons that, you know, led to his departure. I don't think that's significant enough, but I mean, I'm sure it was somewhere in there, right? The annoyance of the Rivers family, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that had something to do with the decision. But yeah, I mean, players don't like Austin Rivers, and this was just a thing with the Rockets. Like, the Rockets really got pissed off about this. And after the game, the Rockets,
it starts good and ends good.
Right. Okay, first we get a report from a Los Angeles beat reporter that James Harden and Chris Paul got into this huge fight in the locker room, and that security had to be called there, LAPD, and everybody on Rockets Twitter was just losing their like this felt very, there were a lot of people that felt this was a possibility, right? Like James Harden and Chris Paul clashing, right? So it wasn't something that we were expecting at this particular juncture. Like, it just felt like a regular loss. But, like, that report came out there. And I felt like it was kind of irresponsible on that beat reporter's part to not confirm the story. To just, I guess a security guard told her that Chris Paul and James Harden had gone into some bit of a skirmish. And that was that. That wasn't the story. Like, what was the story was a lot more entertaining. The Rockets, Trevor Ariza, Gerald Green, James Harden, and Chris Paul stormed the Clippers locker room through an apparent secret tunnel that I guess Chris Paul had known about through his time in LA. And they I guess Trevor Ariza was just so pissed at Austin Rivers, he had to confront him. So Chris Paul tells Trevor Ariza about this tunnel. They charge the locker room. Gerald Green, who's been on the team for about a month, it feels like he has to tag along. And
he's a real one.
Right. Like,
he's a real one.
I love Gerald Green. Like, I'm starting to grow a bit of affinity towards him. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, they stormed the tunnel, and apparently they just get into the shouting matchup, right? And meanwhile, like, the Rockets sent Clint, this was their original report, this has since been debunked, but it was just hilarious in real time. The report was that the Rockets sent Clint Capella as a sort of a diversion tactic from the front entrance of the locker room.
He's just standing there hanging out, like, they close the door in his face as soon as they see who it is, and he just hangs out there for a while, was the report.
Right, like, they slammed the door in his face, like, as soon as they saw a 6'10 Swiss guy, they just closed the door, like, and, I mean, this was just, like, this story was all kinds of chaos, like, in real time, like, I feel like I'm not doing this enough justice, because in real, you really had to be there. This is one of those moments, like the DeAndre Jordan kidnapping, like, where all the details are unconfirmed, but nobody gives a shit, right? Like, it was just like, we want this story to be true so badly that, like, the facts don't matter. Like, it was just like, like Secret Tunnel 2018. That was the story. That was the story we're running with.
This is a version of a story that existed when NBA Twitter just had an all-time night. Unbelievable. The jokes and the memes and the videos and the photo edits and the drawings, it was all amazing.
It was nuts. Like, it was absolutely, from the minute that first report came out about James Harden and Chris Paul getting into a skirmish, the memes just flew like left and right, and it was like one of those moments where everybody got the joke, right? Like, I think Amin El-Hassan talked about this. Like, when Twitter gets the joke and everybody understands it and they run with it, there's nothing more beautiful. Like, when everybody's in on it and everybody's making their own memes. Like, I was throwing out my own memes. I saw other people doing the same thing. People from our own site were doing the same thing. They were just throwing out these memes left and right. It was just like, I mean, like, the story was crazy. Like, this idea that the Rockets had planned this assault on the lock, like, it was sophisticated enough to where they had a decoy. Like, that's just, like, nuts. Like, I it just felt like a something like Chris Paul would totally do this. It just felt like Chris Paul would totally tell Clint Capella, all right, you go to the front, we'll meet you there, and not tell him anything, not fill him in on any of the details. As they stormed the back, like, and my favorite part about this is there were multiple parties in this. Like, it was, yeah. Like, it was that faction. It was the faction of Tariq Black, Clint Capella, who were just kind of sort of out of the loop. It was maddening. I mean, it was awesome. Like, it was an amazing story. Like in my opinion, after that, like, the suspensions that were going to be handed out. Like, I thought this was going to be. I thought the suspensions were going to be pretty severe, like, by all reporting. Like,
you're not alone. A lot of people thought that, too.
Yeah, like, this just felt like it was going to be a real black mark for the league, and they'd send a severe message. It wasn't that bad, but even in the time being that I thought it was going to be that, I was like, it's worth it. It's worth it. This night makes it worth it. Like, Twitter made it worth it. Like, I don't even care if the Rockets... Yeah. Like, at that point, I didn't even care if the Rockets lost their next three or four games, because that was just... pure gold. That night, it was just it was like the ultimate refresh night, where the memes would not stop flowing. Like,
yeah, it was amazing, because that loss was very miserable. That was a bad loss. It right. sucked. But the everything happened after that was a delight. And there was this there was this moment where we thought that maybe Chris Paul and James Harden got into it with each other. And that brief moment, everybody was worried, because that's just we'll be having the worst case scenario, worse than a loss, right, worse than whatever else.
That could be a season ender, right?
Yeah, that could be a season ender. That's a huge red flag. But instead, what happened was that they just wanted to, at least some of them wanted to go scrap in the other locker room, right? That is, you know, maybe it's not great for PR or something, but that shows you that they care. That's a million times better than wanting to fight each other. Look, wanting to fight Austin Rivers is... I don't condone violence, but I do condone wanting to fight Austin Rivers. Like, I get it. So that seeing them suddenly, you know, be really pissed off and willing to go take some action. A lot of people said, "Oh no, it shows how mentally weak they are." Man, it's way better to see them.
I'm done with that. Like, do you know who was saying that? Like, that was Clippers fans, man. Like, that was pure Clippers fans that wanted to be like. Like, they're always the butt of the joke, right? And they so badly wanted someone else to be the butt of the joke this time. And it's just not the case. Like, everybody wanted the Rocket. Like, everybody was on the Rocket side at that point. Like, everybody loved the idea of this secret tunnel. Like, a secret tunnel. Like, have you ever heard of that? Like, a secret passageway.
Secret tunnel.
Right, like, to another hallway. Like, that's just something you hear in movies, man. Like, they coordinated this thing. Like... That, I mean, according to the reporting, like, they just right. I mean,
well, eventually you find out what actually happened.
Right, and what happened was
at least a closer version of what happened. Yeah,
right. And what happened was Trevor Ariza was really pissed, and Gerald Green went to go back him up, and James Harden and Chris Paul were the peacemakers, according to reports. Like, those were the guys that wanted to calm everybody down. Like, this is stupid. It's not worth fighting over. Let's go back to our locker room. Like. That was, but I don't care. Like, what happened in my mind is what happened on Twitter that night. Like, I don't care what the real story is. Like, I hope this is the real story, and I'm gonna pretend like it is, because it just made for an amazing story. Like, this is, again, I'm never gonna forget about this. Rockets Twitter, NBA Twitter. Like, we're never gonna forget about this night. This night will live on in infamy. It was just. Yeah. It was so fun. Like, it
resulted in Trevor Ariza having to watch the Warriors game with Bobby Brown, which was another amazing side effect.
Right. So let's go ahead and talk about the punishments that were doled down from the league office. So Kiki Vanderweight came down and said, that basically the two that were in the wrong were Trevor Ariza and Daryl Green. Apparently, those were the guys who were the instigators. They were the ones that wanted to storm the locker room. They were the ones that wanted to confront Austin Rivers. And they were handed down 2-game suspensions, which, you know, it's not insignificant, right? Like Trevor Ariza is a starter. He's important. He's a glue guy to the team. And it felt like the Rockets could easily lose their next two games because of these two suspensions.
Yeah, because as it turns out, Trevor Ariza is pretty goddamn important to the Rockets. He is a defensive anchor. He's a release valve for the offense when he can actually hit a shot. He plays a lot of minutes. In fact, keeping his minutes down has been one of the bigger challenges for them. So I was worried about it for sure. Gerald Green is great too. I don't want to slight Gerald Green. He's a delight. I love him being there. But he's not on the same level as Trevor Ariza, obviously, in the import. But right. They didn't lose the next two games.
Right, they won the next two games, and those were like two really good teams that they played the next. Like Minnesota's like the fourth best team in the West, and they got a really key win there. It felt like they were on the Wolves' throat from pretty much the jump, and they didn't let go. It was like a signature Rockets win that you would have saw in the beginning of the season, right? Like it was one of those like we're better than you, we're gonna beat you, it's over, right? Like the game's over by halftime, and we're just sitting around waiting for the thing to actually be over, right? And that was a key win. That was one of those wins that the Rockets badly needed after a loss to the Clippers. And they survived one game of the suspension. And the second game, the Warriors. Okay, so let's go ahead and be transparent. We were talking about the Rockets losing this game way before the game started. Like Forrest and I and everybody on the site, we were texting back and forth, and we were fully expecting the Rockets to lose this game. In crushing fashion. Like we thought the Rockets would have a strong first half and lose and let go of the rope in the second half, right? That was not the case.
We know we'll never have nice things, except this time we were wrong.
Right, that was not the case. The Rockets did in fact have a strong first half. They let go of the rope for like a brief second, but then they came back on top. This was like, again, okay, so we've been talking about the Warriors nonstop. Pretty much everything to do with the Rockets pretty much comes back to the Warriors because they've been talking about the Warriors nonstop, right? Like,
yeah, that's the point of the team. The whole point of the team is to beat the Warriors.
Right, the central focus of this season is to, you know, try and dethrone the Warriors in the conference finals. That's the goal. That's the goal Daryl Morey set out for this offseason. That's the reason they made all the signings they did. This was a key game for them, man. And going into the game, they were missing a key cog in Trevor Ariza. I don't want to, you know, dismiss this. I mean, the Warriors were also losing Andre Iguodala, which is, I would say, is just as important a piece to their team as Trevor Ariza is to the Rockets, right? Like, he's one of their central five. Like that's a big blow for them. Same thing with Trevor Ariza. So it felt like the floor. This was as balanced of a matchup you could get because all the core guys, all the star players were healthy. James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capella, Steph Curry, KD, Draymond, Klay, all those guys were healthy. This was as close to a healthy matchup as you could possibly get, and it was every bit as advertised. It was a great game from start to finish. James Harden, originally set on a minutes restriction, started the game off hot. Three straight threes. Like it looked like he badly needed to get out of that slug. I mean, we didn't expect James Harden to play like crap for multiple games. I mean, he was eventually gonna come out of the come back from injury strong. This was the game, man. He came out shooting the ball well. He came out aggressive. He made a lot of great passes to Clint Capella. A lot of passes that went into the books unrecorded as assists, but he set the plays up, right? Chris Paul was phenomenal. He was probably the Rockets' best player in this game, and this was what we wanted to see. This, like, we've only gotten to see one true healthy matchup: Rockets Warriors, right? That was opening night, and you know, as we know about opening night matchups, there's a lot that goes into that, right? Like ring night. Tensions are high, emotions are, you know, everybody's all over the place. Everybody's just gotten back from the offseason, pretty much, you know, preseason games are over. It's hard to put too much stock into that this game felt a lot more meaningful. This win felt a lot more meaningful. The Rockets played great defense, as good defense as you could on the Warriors. James Harden, since he's come back from injury,
yeah,
been awesome on defense. Like, he's been awesome on he's had a couple misplays here and there, but I mean, overall, like, I don't know what the hell happened. Like, maybe his hamstring was holding him back, man. Like, maybe.
Yeah, he seemed to tear a little bit of it off to kind of release the power inside, right?
Right. He's been awesome on defense. And this was a great win for the Rockets, and a lot of their key players stepped up. Their defense, again, as good as you can possibly play on the Rocket, on the Warriors. The Warriors missed a lot of shots, but hey, the Rockets missed a lot of shots too.
So did Eric Gordon.
Right, Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson were not hot at all from 3-point line. They couldn't hit it.
Rhino only took one.
Right, and to Rhino's credit, he got like 10 boards. He was actually pretty useful in that game. More useful than you would imagine in a Rockets Warriors matchup, where players like him are just impossible to play, right? And to his credit, he played fine. Like, he was good enough to keep on the floor. He provided that spacing, and he was a monster on the glass. Like, he got a lot. You felt those rebounds from him, right? And I just felt like he had a good game, and I felt like the Rockets in general, except for maybe Eric Gordon, like, everybody had a pretty nice showing.
Yeah, and they had a showing that seemed like it wasn't just pure hot streak. So about this game, this is the most important game of the season.
Right.
Like, not like, you know, we oftentimes say this is the most important game of the season, and as the season moves on, usually you say, oh, well, they're in a close dead heat for the second or third seed or something. This is now the most important game of the season. They have to win this one. I don't see any game going forward being more important than this one.
Nope.
Because this game isn't just important for the standings. That's cool and all. It's great. They got tiebreaker, which is good in the standings, and they picked up a game on the Warriors, which is also good in the standings. Hey, the door has, you know, the door's cracked open for the one seed. That's all way less important than what actually mattered here. This is their mission statement. That is the goal. There's actually a good piece on Real GM about this, about how the Rockets are single-mindedly, like, monomaniacally seeking to defeat the Warriors. That is the point of the whole team. They need to defeat the Warriors. They need to beat them 2 out of 3 times, and they did. The fact that they won 2 out of 3, they got that tiebreaker. They got that proof, and it isn't proof to anybody but themselves. They know now, and they had to know. That's a huge win. It's going to stay with them the rest of the season, because now they really think they can beat the Warriors in the playoffs.
Right, and what I thought was so key about this game is you can't write them off. You can't write this win off as, oh, so many things went wrong for the Warriors. Yeah, some things went wrong for the Warriors, but a lot of things went wrong for the Rockets. Like, this was a fairly balanced game on both ends. Like, it just turns out a couple more bounces went the Rockets' way, and they won the game, right? Like, this was as even of a matchup as you can possibly get in a regular season game, right? This was Rockets Warriors at their best, and it was damn entertaining, man. Like, it was a really fun game to watch. It was it was difficult to watch at times towards the end because it was just so close, and a couple games could have swung it here and there.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. One thing that was really fun to watch was them getting out in passing lanes. They were ball hawking the Warriors all night. It was a hell of a thing to see. Their defense has been kind of bad lately, especially without Luke. When he missed that month, their defense fell off a lot. But I was impressed. Everybody was communicating. Everybody played to the best of their ability. They worked together, and they made the Warriors pay on the defensive end a lot of times. So, like you're saying, you could tell that the Rockets wanted this, and they were giving their full game. And people are saying the Warriors didn't care about it. Well, that's their problem. If they can't care.
Hold on. Like, with all due respect, that's bullshit. Like, yeah. They absolutely wanted to embarrass the Rockets. Like, and this has been the thing with the Warriors and their fan base all season. They pretend like they don't care. They pretend like no, you guys, like, they absolutely cared about this game. Like, Warriors fans watched this game intently. I was watching their Twitter feeds. I saw. Like, you can't pretend.
Yeah, they're very. I don't care. I'm not mad. I don't care. Constantly assuring themselves that they don't care and they're not mad about it.
Right. Like they absolutely cared about this game. The Warriors cared about this game. They played hard. Both teams played hard. Like, and the idea that the Warriors didn't try. Like, no, you're not going to dismiss this win. This was a legitimate win on the reigning NBA champions. And I got to say, I'm kind of in now. Like, I'm kind of in on the idea that the Rockets can possibly pose a threat to the Warriors. Like, before I wasn't. Like, I was half in. I think before tonight's game, I was like 40-50% in, maybe even 60. Like, I was like, I was just kind of leaning there, right? Like, now I'm like, yeah, I think they're threats. Like, I wouldn't favor them at all. Like, God, no, I would not favor the Rockets in a matchup against the Warriors. But
unless Steph Curry fell off a cliff or something.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
right.
If someone comes down from the future right now and tells me that the Rockets won, like, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't call him a liar. Like, I wouldn't be.
You'd be like, oh, nice, it worked.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at with this, right? Like, I'm in. Like, I've seen enough. I've seen enough of this Rockets team. I've seen enough of the matchups. I think I'm in. Like, I can buy into the idea that the Rockets are now legitimate threats to the Warriors. They present enough problems in their front court. They made a lot of key additions. PJ Tucker is probably more important in a Warriors matchup in any other matchup with the Rockets can play in the postseason. Like,
yeah,
he is so wild.
He looks so bad against some of their teams, but he looks amazing in every Warriors game.
And he's instrumental, man. Like, he's playing all the big positions. He's defending Draymond. He's doing all the switching. Like, he's doing all the communicating. He's grabbing all the key rebounds. Like, he is so essential to what the Rockets are doing and the Rockets can do in a Warriors matchup. His value is just amplified in these games. And you can tell, I mean, like, in that fourth quarter, it was all PJ Tucker. And surprisingly, it was a lot of PJ Tucker on the offensive end. He made a couple of key threes there, and he made this weird floater. Like, James Harden found him found him wide open in the lane, and he made this floater that just felt like no, and it went in, right? Like, it was one of those shots. It was one of those fluky shots that just went in that you don't expect PJ Tucker to take, but when he does take it and make it, it just feels like you won the lottery, right? Like, because that's what you need, man. Like, you need stuff like that to happen. You need stuff like to go in your favor a little bit to just on the margins to beat this team. Mike D'Antoni talked about it, man. Like, the camera caught him on a timeout where he was lecturing the Rockets. Like, you got to grab every loose ball. You have to run back in transition. You cannot let up anything that you can easily prevent, right? Like, you have to be 100% all in all the time against this team. They capitalize on everything. Every Rockets miss feels so heavy in a Warriors matchup, right? Like, mm-hmm. Because it just feels like they're going to score automatically. It feels like on every miss that you're just giving the Warriors 2 points, right? That's just the type of offense this Warriors team is. Like, they're the greatest offense of all time. And you cannot let up against them. And the Rockets, they're sprinting on every possession. Like, I'm not sure if you noticed. Sure.
Every time the Warriors would give up a turnover or even just like a long rebound, they were just cramming it down their throats immediately because they knew they had to do the same thing to them. And if a miss on one end means a three for the Warriors, they have to make sure a miss on the other end means a three for them. And they were doing their damnedest to make sure that happened every single possession.
Right. Can we talk about that James Harden step back three for a second? Like, that was just...
Yeah, we can.
Oh, my God.
You gotta throw daggers if you're gonna beat the Warriors.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so happy I get to watch this guy play basketball again. Like watching the Rockets for those 8 games that he was out, it was just kind of miserable. Like, it was just wasn't the same Rockets team. It just wasn't the same happy-go-lucky team that we've become so accustomed to seeing this season and last season. Like, it's just a totally different team when he's out there. And it... watching him hit that three and get his confidence back over the two-time MVP was just, I mean, that was just a key win. Like, for all the talk that James Harden, you know, can't finish games in the clutch, he makes a lot of careless decisions down the stretch, he needed that, right? He needed that, because if he missed that three, Twitter eviscerates him, because that's a key moment, that's a key possession down the stretch that the Rockets wasted. But he makes that three, and it looks so much better. Like, it makes him look like a true closer. And James Harden, to his credit, he needs that credibility for people to really buy in on the Rockets. Like, he needs that close. Like people need to buy in on James Harden more than anything in the postseason to buy in on the Rockets. That's the biggest skepticism, right? That's what's holding everybody back from buying in on this Rockets team, right? It's James Harden and his performance down the stretch and his performance in key games.
Yeah, and he, like you say, did it on both ends of the floor. He hit that step back three, and he blocked Steph Curry's three immediately afterwards. And that sealed the
game.
That
was a big block.
He made both of the game-sealing plays. So I feel like this game could not have gone any more favorably for Houston in the end. A giant blowout would actually have been less impressive, in my opinion. Because a giant blowout usually just means that
something went wrong.
Something went wrong for their team, or it's just your night or something. This game was a real game. They stayed ahead by a reasonable amount. They built a big lead. The Warriors fought back, and the Rockets held them off. They held them off as they were doing the best they could. That's a real game. This is what a playoff game is going to look like. So I'm enthused by it, and this is exactly what the Rockets needed. This doesn't prove anything, but it is the it does not disprove anything at all. If the Rockets are going to be able to hang in the playoffs, if they are going to be able to make supposedly real threat to the Warriors, this is what that game needed to look like.
And more than anything, this raises their they have to make the conference finals at this point. There's no excuses.
Yeah.
Anything less than a conference finals appearance is a massive disappointment. Everybody in the world, anybody that watches basketball thinks that the Rockets are the second best team in the West and probably the second best team in the league, right? That's pretty much confirmed at this point. If they do not back that up and make it to the conference finals, I think that's deserving of criticism. I think if they get killed at that point, it's pretty much fair.
Yeah, and they need to go after that one seed now. Not to the point of, overplaying guys' minutes, getting them tired and running them out. What they need to do is they need to blow out every team. And I hope that's the plan. I mean, it's got to be always the plan, but the goal is that their mentality should hopefully match up to that. They've looked, especially without Harden, they've looked kind of tired and ready for that tough stretch to be over. The hope you've got to have here if you're a Rockets fan is that this has kind of lit a fire inside them, and now they're ready to just prove that they can kick any ass that comes their way.
And to their credit, they get their guys back now. Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green come back. And Nene's back. Nene was good in that Warriors matchup last night. In the last game against the Warriors, Nene was just unplayable because the Warriors were seeking him out on every switch, and Steph attacked him and eviscerated him in that second game of the season, and he was pretty much unplayable. And this game, he played. He held his ground. Nene on rest days, when he gets rest, the guy looks incredible. I posted a picture, Nene on rest days is kind of blah. Without a rest day, is kind of blah. He's whatever.
Yeah.
But when he has days off, the guy looks like freaking Anthony Davis, man. The guy plays so above his head when he has days off. You saw it in the postseason last year, right? Those days off are so crucial to how he performs. For some reason, he just gets, I guess his body recovers, he gets more spring in his step. He's more agile. He can switch out more and defend much better. He plays a lot differently on days off than he does when he's playing back to backs or whatever, right? He looks like a superhuman, right? And Clint Capela looked really great in this matchup, in this game. Clint Capela is so useful against the Warriors. The guy was finishing around the rim really, really well. And this is against Draymond, Durant. We're talking about the two leading candidates for Defensive Player of the Year, protecting the rim. And he was finishing over those guys. I thought that was a really impressive game for him. And now the Rockets are 18-0 with Clint Capela, Chris Paul, and James Harden healthy. And that's a telling stat, man. That stat just tells you, at full health, at fully optimized, this team is unbeatable. It literally unbeatable, at full health. Now, obviously, as time goes on, they're not going to be undefeated forever. But, the difference between a not healthy team and a healthy Rockets team is just astronomical. I think it's different than a lot of other teams. This team reminds me so much of, and don't take this in the wrong way, Rockets fans, this team reminds me so much of the Clippers, of the last 5 years. And I was a big Clippers believer when I say that. I really felt like the Clippers, at full health, with their core four of J.J. Redick, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. I really felt like when those four guys are healthy, they can compete toe-to-toe with anybody in the league. I thought they had a chance for a championship for so many years. Luck never went their way. Injuries, happened, right? and they weren't able to do it. And I kind of feel like that with the Rockets, but I feel like the Rockets are a much better version of that. Like, when they're fully healthy, when their stars are healthy, when their core three or four guys are healthy, like, they're just they can stand toe to toe with anybody, including the Warriors. I feel like that now. I felt like that about the Warriors. I felt like that about the Clippers. And the reason that comparison came to mind was because a lot of people can't buy into this Rockets team in the same way that people couldn't buy into that Clippers team, right? Like, people looked at that team.
Well, they hate the players is a big part of it.
Right, and people looked at the team as a joke, right? Like, people thought, they can never do it in the postseason. They're a fun regular season team, but they're not really. Like, I feel like the same narrative is being crafted about this Rockets team. Whether it's fair or unfair, that's kind of the way it is right now. But again, at full health, I believe, I'm not sure about you, I believe they can stand toe to toe with anybody. I've just seen enough of this team. I've seen enough of their defense and how versatile they've been, and just how well they've played as a unit. Like, this team really seems to like each other, and I feel like that's important. Like,
They seem to like each other in a way the Clippers never quite did.
Right. Kevin Durant talked about this after that Warriors loss. Like, they were. Like, he was talking about how the Rockets have a pretty strong culture, and that starts with how well they interact off the floor, right? Like, we saw Bobby Brown, Trevor Ariza, and James Harden together all summer together. Like, they were hanging out at Astros games. They were hanging out just, you know, off the court, just doing stuff. And, like, through that time, I felt like they got a lot of chemistry. They seemed to really like each other, as we said. And I feel like that stuff's important, man. Like, you're more likely to tell someone to his face a flaw in how they approach something if you like them than if you don't like them, right? And I feel like that matters in team building.
Yeah, winning builds chemistry, and chemistry builds winning. So they're trying to get on this virtuous spiral, which so far so good.
Right. I want to talk about something else that really bothered me after the game. Clint Capela after the game said flat out that we think we're better than the Warriors. In fact, he didn't say we think. He said we're better than the Warriors. This drew a lot of backlash, and I don't understand the backlash. It's like, okay, like, these are professional basketball players. You don't think they're extremely confident human beings? Like, you don't think, like, they're these people who have beaten 1 in a million odds to get to where they are in the league? You don't think that they can beat anybody on any given night? And, like, this isn't more shocking than anything the Rockets have said all season or said all summer. Like, this for some reason drew a lot of attention, and the Rockets have been talking about the Warriors all year. Like, this is nothing new. Like, this is kind of nothing compared to what they've said about the Warriors in the past few months. Do you remember that quote with Daryl Morey? I think it was after the Warriors won their second title. About how they're a very beatable team. You remember that?
Yeah.
Right. Like I feel like that was even more egregious than this. And, like, I heard someone say it was unacceptable on Twitter. What part about we think we're better than them is unacceptable? Like, is it just that, like, the Warriors are so supreme that every team in the league has to bow down to them, like, at every corner? Like, I don't understand, like, what's wrong with the little trash talking? What's wrong with a little, like that to me makes the game more compelling. Like, that to me is what makes the Warriors compelling, is their just brashness and how arrogant and how much they celebrate. Like, that's what makes them compelling to me. Like, I don't understand why this rubbed people the wrong way.
Well, it's kind of the Warriors have won at that point. If everyone's too afraid to poke the bear, right? If everyone's convinced that if you ever irritate them, they will destroy you, then you assume they can already destroy anybody they want to. And you made a really good point when you talk about this, that, what, like, they're not going to come out full force in the playoffs anyway?
Right.
I think sometimes this talk about, I think you're more or less right, that talk about giving people motivation is a bit overstated. They're like, oh, well, they were just going to play normal, but now they're pissed off. I mean, they're always going to have a chip on their shoulder. It's probably it's not like a great tactical move, I guess, to say some things that could really piss off the Warriors. But whatever, they're the team you hate the most. It's fine.
What's wrong with being open about it? Yeah. Like, we know that they're trying to beat the Warriors. Like, they've said that publicly. Like, what's wrong with being open about it? Like, why dance around the subject? Like, you know you're trying to beat this team. The Warriors know you're trying to beat this team. Your moves have suggested that you're trying to beat this team. Like, I don't understand why beat around the bush. Why not be arrogant and confident about it and say we're trying to beat this team and we think we can beat this team. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Why you have to be so judicious in your diction? Like, why can't you just say straight up we think we're better than them? Even though it may be you're probably wrong, right? But like, who cares? Like, that's what's fun about trash talking.
Yeah, and in this case, you know, it's not like you're going to lose any respect in their eyes. They already do not respect the Rockets even a little bit, so.
Right. Like, this idea that Draymond needs even more bulletin board material, like, the guy is already fuming after this loss. Like, this idea that they don't already want to kick the Rockets' ass, like, that's just bullshit, man. Like, they have enough bulletin board material. They've lost twice in the regular season to the Rockets. They want to point. When they play the Rockets in the postseason, which we both think they will, they have enough to be motivated about. This idea that this one quote is what sets them off, that it's just not true. Like, they're already an incredible team that wants to eviscerate everyone in their sight. Did you not see last postseason? Did you not see them go 16-1? Like, that was, they're already an extremely motivated team. I don't understand why this one quote is viewed as poking the bear. Like, maybe it's just me. Like, I don't understand why people still talk about professional basketball like it's high school basketball. I remember earlier in the season, like, Chris Paul, and this is kind of a separate topic, but this is a gripe that I have when people talk about the NBA. Like, Chris Paul, like, made a layup when the game was pretty much over, and the Blazers got pissed off. NBA Twitter got pissed off because it was.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, it was like an unwritten rule that you can't. Like, once it's over, you have to dribble the ball out. Like, you have to dribble out the game. Like, this is a professional basketball, man. Unwritten rules don't exist. Like, you're gonna try to get every advantage you can on every team just because that's what you're supposed to do. That's your job. You're paid to execute at the highest level. You're paid to talk at the highest level. You're paid to do whatever it takes to, you know, win. And I don't understand, like, why people still treat this like it's buddy-buddy. Like, it's, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe I need to get off my curmudgeon high horse, but it's just that's just the way I feel about it. Like, this crap about unwritten rules and respecting one another or acting like you've been there, that's bullshit.
Yeah, what I'll say is that I think there is some decorum involved, but I think that decorum goes out the window if you really hate the other team. And I think we should embrace that some teams really hate each other. Like, yeah, if it's like, you wouldn't do stuff like that to the Spurs if you're the Rockets, right? Because they don't really hate each other. They have a kind of an amicable relationship, if anything. And a lot of teams are like that. The Rockets don't hate most teams, but if it's like the Clippers, or if it's the Blazers, or if it's the Warriors, then yeah, they're going to go ahead and throw caution to the wind, and they're going to break some of the unwritten rules because they're not there to be civil with them. They're not there to have, oh, good game, well done, see you next time. No, they hope each other burns in hell. So they're going to be mean. They're going to say things after the game. They're going to shoot that last three. All of it is petty. That's the whole point of it. If the games aren't petty, the games aren't very important.
Right, this is why we love the NBA so much. It's because it's so freaking, like, laden with drama, right? Like, more than any other sport in America, man. Like this sport has constant drama, constant entertainment, like, 24/7. Like, it's why we spent the first 18 minutes of this podcast talking about a secret tunnel, right? Like, that's why we love this sport. It's because it's so freaking stupid and outrageous and fun. And this idea that we can't have players that are confident in their ability, and this idea that you're shocked that Clint Capela would say such a thing, that you're outraged about it. Like, I don't understand it. And You know, I don't just say this about the Rockets. I say this about unwritten rules in general. I've been pretty consistent with this team. I remember when Jordan Bell had this crazy dunk in a game where the Warriors were like winning by 20 or something, and everybody got pissed off, right? And I'm just like, who cares, man? Like the game is over. Like, why not do a ridiculous dunk? This
don't go down 20.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Like that's your fault. Like if you're talking about be a professional, that stuff doesn't belong in our sport. Well, how about be a professional and don't be down 20? Right? Like that just I don't know. That kind of stuff bothers me, this idea about unwritten rules and acting like you've been there. Like that stuff sounds like a whole bunch of old man talk. That sounds like something that belongs in college basketball, not the NBA.
Yeah, it's about right. I'm fine with all of it. I'm just here for the petty, so I'll have fun other way.
I had to get that off my chest. This kind of stuff irritates me, but whatever. The Rockets are on a hot streak. They have a couple. They have a pretty balanced schedule coming up. They play the Spurs on February 3rd. They play the Heat next, which is a pretty good team, and they have a couple. Of interesting tests. I'm going to play a Cavs soon, too. They have a couple of interesting tests before the season's over. But this was
Cavs good?
I don't think they're coming out of the East.
There's not an answer to are the Cavs good. There's no way to know right now. But it's a question we must all ask ourselves.
Yeah, but I'm going to go ahead and say I don't think they're coming out of the East. I'm out on them. Like you can't have the 30th best defense and tell me you're going to flip the switch and become like, and I know the Cavs have done it before, but they've never been this bad on defense.
But I'm sure it's fine. Anyway, yeah, so yeah, they have San Antonio, Cleveland. Who else is pretty? Oh, they got another Minnesota game in February.
Right.
The rest of January is after Miami. It's Dallas, New Orleans, Phoenix, and Orlando, and they don't have any business losing those games.
Right. They should be able to get back to where they were. In terms of eviscerating every opponent in sight. If not, it would be a disappointment because like that's kind of what we expect from this Rockets team at this point. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we had a pretty good podcast here. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoy the show. And yeah, guys, good night.